I would like for you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And as you're turning there, turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. And I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. Something that is truly very important for our day and important for you and for me. But in Jeremiah chapter 9, and hold on while I'm getting there. Sorry about that. In Jeremiah chapter 9, we find a beautiful portion of scripture that I want to share with you. Let's get to it. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, and it says this. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." Verse 24 says again, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And I want to speak with you a message this morning entitled, "Lord, I want to know you more." Lord, I want to know you more. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would help me to express your heart to these, your people. For Lord, we are living in perilous times. But Lord, it's not too late for any of us to be able to draw closer to you and know you more. And so I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would fill my mouth as I begin to open it. I pray that you'd let the anointing be upon those words, that they would bring life to the hearers. I pray, Lord, against distraction in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, that would hinder us from hearing what you have to say. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, afternoon. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen. Lord, I want to know you more. Jeremiah, the writer of the book of Jeremiah, was known as the weeping prophet. He was given the task by the Lord to proclaim to the house of Israel and the house of Judah the fact that impending judgment was right on the horizon. The children of Israel had, by this time in Israel's history, in the Old Testament time, they had forsaken the living God. This nation, which should have known better, was now serving other gods, other deities, which in reality aren't gods at all, which are really only just demonic in nature. But the children of Israel had begun to follow after other gods, and they had forsaken the living and true God. And like I said, of all the people on the face of the earth that should have known better, it was them. They were the ones that knew God's power. They had experienced God's blessing in their history and in their past. They had heard the stories of how God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. They had heard the stories of how God moved in powerful ways. This nation, unlike any other nation on the face of the earth in this time, had never known God the way Israel did. No other nation had the blessing of God. And yet, this nation had turned its back on the Almighty and now was serving other gods. And the prophet, as he would proclaim the impending judgment, the doom that was coming for their rejection of God, would weep because his heart was burdened. It was broken for the fact that he knew that these prophecies were sure. There was no doubt that God would bring this judgment because Jeremiah saw the hardness of his own people, Israel. And as we look at this portion of scripture, we see that Jeremiah, speaking the word of God Almighty, says, "Thus says the Lord." This is God speaking through the lips of Jeremiah to his people. And he tells them, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his own might or the rich man in his riches, but rather let him who glories glory in this one thing. He says, let them glory that they understand and know me. If there is anything that you and me should be glorying over, it is the fact that we know our God. It is in the fact that we have understood and known Him in and through our lives. And when we truly do know God, there will be a glorying that will take place in your and my lips to those around us. Jeremiah, speaking the word of the Lord, says that the Lord says that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. And along with those very things, he says that I delight in those things. You see, the God that we serve is not like the heathen, or is not like other deities in other communities or other places around the earth. But the God that we serve is a God that exercises loving kindness. He is a God of love. John would say, God is love. That is the God that we serve. And if you know God, you know that He is love. He isn't mad at you. He is not against you. He loves you. And He has a desire to reveal Himself to you in ways that can boggle your and my mind. You see, there are times that we think God wants to reveal Himself to that big name preacher or to that person raised in that household. But I'm here to tell you that God does not show favoritism to one or anyone. He wants to reveal Himself to you to such an extent that He will reveal Himself to anyone else. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't go and reveal Himself to someone just because of their status or their culture or because they're a particular color or because they have this much wealth or the lack thereof. God wants to reveal Himself to you individually. And I'm here to tell you that if you, as an individual, will call upon the name of the Lord in sincerity and in truth, He will reveal Himself to you. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. I love what Jeremiah has to say here. You see, we're talking about, Lord, I want to know you more. And Jeremiah, speaking the word of the Lord, it says, let him glory, or let him that glories, glory in this, that they know me. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, I want us to read what Jeremiah, again speaking the word of the Lord, says. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you. I want you to say me. Because that's who you are. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The New International Version would say, my plans are to prosper you. Verse 12 says, then you shall call upon me and you shall come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, yes, this portion of Scripture does relate to Israel as a nation. You see, this nation had forsook or has forsaken the living God. And God's judgment was impending. The nation of Babylon would come and take all Israel captive. I should say Judah. But they would be taken captive into Babylon. And they would reside in Babylon for 70 years. As sure as God's word said 70 years, it was exactly 70 years that they would be in Babylon. And then God would raise up a man named Cyrus the Persian. It's amazing that Isaiah prophesied about him by name years before that even took place. Cyrus, being moved upon by God himself, would allow the Jews to be released from Babylonian captivity and they would return to their homeland. And as we see this prophecy of Jeremiah, this was spoken before they were ever taken captive. But in their captivity, they would learn the lesson that God would teach them. And I'm here to tell you that there are times in our own lives that we will begin to turn in our hearts away from God. There are times that we can be raised in the pews in this church. We can be raised in the Lord. And then, as time progresses, we begin to want to take our own steps and do our own thing. And sometimes in doing our own thing, it doesn't involve the Lord anymore, and we've turned, just like those in Judea had done. And so God allowed them to go into captivity. God allowed this hardness, this captivity to grip them, to bind them, to cause them to come to the place where they would see, there is no other hope but that I come back to my God. And what is happening here is while they were in this Babylonian captivity, they would come to realize that God truly is the only answer and the only one that they would ever need. And in their despair, they would call out to the living God. And you know what God would do? He wouldn't turn a deaf ear to them. But instead, He begins to relate to them, "Look what I have for you." And maybe you have turned. Maybe there's people in this room where you have turned in your heart away from the living God. God still is telling you right now, "I have plans for you, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." It may seem like there is no way. How can God deliver me from this? How can God take away this bondage in my life? But I'm here to tell you, just as sure as the word is God's word right here, He has said if you will turn to Him and call out to Him with all of your heart, He will not turn away from you. He says, "You shall call upon me and you shall come and pray to me and I will listen to you." This is God speaking. God is saying, "I will listen. I am listening. As you cry out to me and you are sincere in wanting Him in your life, He is listening. You will seek me and find me," it says there in verse 13, "when you will search for me with all of your heart." It is time to let everything go. And it is time to just let it all down and say, "God, I surrender. I give it all to you. I am willing to let it all go, Lord." And He says that if you will seek Him with all of your heart, He says, "I will be found of you, and I will turn away your captivity." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That is a promise that you can hold on to. If God is God, and just as sure as God is giving this promise, if you will hold Him to it, He will deliver you. But it takes your and my determination to seek after Him with all of our heart. Nothing else in there. We give up, give it all to Him. And it says, "I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you," says the Lord, "and I will bring you back into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive." Sometimes we think, "Oh, why is God so mean? Why is He allowing all these things to happen in my life?" And sometimes it's because we've turned in our hearts away from God. And God is using those circumstances to draw us back to Himself. It's His love. The Bible says that it's the love of God, the very love of God, that begins to draw us back to Himself. The love of God captivates us and draws us to this place. And we're living in very turbulent times, aren't we? And as I was preparing this message in my heart, you see, I don't write notes down. I used to write notes back in the day when I used to speak. And then I start looking at the notes, and I would, it would be tough to try to preach. It just didn't make, it would just, you could tell the difference. But as I was praying over this and asking the Lord, Lord, give me your word. My desire is, Lord, I want to know you more. You see, before I was saved, there was a time and a season in my life where there was darkness all around me. I was headed down the wrong path. I know I was. But then through the midst of the decisions and the things that I was doing, I began to fall into a tailspin. Darkness had surrounded me. It seemed like everything that I didn't want was happening to me in regards to feeling like I was going to die, feeling depressed, feeling oppressed. I didn't know what was happening in my life, and I didn't know what to do. I would try to express to my mother the emotions, the things that I was feeling and experiencing to my mother, and she would try to help me. And I remember one day she said, James, read your Bible and pray, and God will help you. And that was coming from my Catholic mother. Amen. Little did she know what those words would do, because then that started me on a quest. And I began to want to know God with all of my heart. And I remember getting our big Catholic family Bible with pictures and all. And I began to read that Bible, and I began to say, Lord, deliver me from this that I am in. And through this season and through this trial, this place of captivity, I begin to call out to the living God, reveal yourself to me. I need you to deliver me from this. And one day, flipping through the television channels, I was confronted with the gospel through evangelist Billy Graham. And I remember listening to that gospel message, and I was convinced of my need for a Savior. And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior there on my bedside. And I remember one statement that would revolutionize my life was made in regards to prayer. And I remember they were just simply giving some real quick words for those that had received Jesus as Lord and Savior. They said, read your Bible, pray, begin in the book of John. And I began to read the Gospel of John, and I began to pray. And they said, prayer is simply this. Prayer is talking to God. And I remember that that day I began to walk and I began to talk. I would go outside, I would go to the back, into the yard, into the field, back across a river, and then I would begin to walk, and I would just literally unburden my heart to the Lord. And I would tell Him of my frustrations. I would tell Him exactly what I was going through. And I would just literally unburden my heart. You know, the Bible gives the expression that we need to learn to be in the presence of God naked and open, holding nothing back. God sees all of our faults and all of our failings and all of our weaknesses and strengths. God knows who we are, doesn't He? And I began to understand that God takes delight in me spending time with Him in prayer. And my prayer became, Lord, I want to know You. I would read the Word and I would begin to pray, and God was revealing Himself to me. And God was revealing Himself to me so much so that I began to find myself, that whole bondage that I was in, that oppression that oppressed my mind, was eventually eradicated by the power of God. And I wasn't bound any longer in my mind. God delivered me. But I began to pray, God, I want to know You more. And that hunger, that thirst was increasing, and I wasn't satisfied. I wanted everything God had for me. I began to pray, oh God, give me everything You have. I began to hear that you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, and I wanted it. Eventually, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want more of You. I want to know You more. God, show me, teach me, lead me. And I began to pray more that way. And you know what? God began to speak to me. I remember one time we were at a baptism over there in, I don't remember where it was, over there in Conejos, by the Conejos River up there, one of those campgrounds up there. And one of your former pastors was actually teaching the Sunday school that day. I don't know if they had invited the churches from the valley to go there to the baptisms. Remember Victor Antonio? Pastor Victor Antonio was teaching the youth. And I remember I was there on the table sitting with other youth, sitting right there with him, and his lesson was talking about young boy Samuel. And in the lesson it was talking about hearing the voice of God. And I remember sitting there in the table, around there with the rest of the youth, and he was talking about Samuel, and I remember I raised my hand and I said, I remember he asked a question, or I forget what it was. I raised my hand and I said, can we really hear God's voice like Samuel did? And I remember Victor Antonio was kind of shocked. He was like, whoa, that question was pretty deep, and it was coming from my youth that were sitting at the table. Amen? Because I wanted to hear from God. And I don't remember what he told me, but I know I wanted to hear from God. And I remember learning that all we have to do is seek after God with all of our hearts. And the Bible says he would be found of us. And so I would pray and I would seek the face of God, sometimes hot tears flowing down my face, but Lord, I want to know you. And God began to speak to me, and God would take my life and lead me to have the desire to go to Bible college, would show me which one to go to, would lead me there. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor James? That you can know God yourself. That God wants to reveal himself to you, and he can take your life on a journey that you never thought could happen. He can take you to places you never thought you could go. But if you will literally abandon yourself to God, and with all of your heart begin to call out to him, even in this day that we're living in, God can take your life and do things with it that you never thought possible, and all for his glory and for his honor. You see, there is no glory in riches. There is no glory in having strength and might. He's saying, if anyone glories, let him glory in this, that he knows me. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Talking about the Antichrist and things like this. But it says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, as the King James Version says. You will be strong and do exploits for the Lord. God will bring glory to himself through you. Don't ever think that you're too old or your life is too far gone that God can't use you. I'm here to tell you that God can take your life where it's at. And he can do things through you to impact your community, to impact this valley, to do even beyond the San Luis Valley. But all we have to do is believe him. And I've always loved the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is actually under house arrest. He is chained to a Roman official. He's not even able to go use the facilities by himself. And in this place where he is bound by chain to a Roman official, even in that place, he says, I count everything but loss compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And I love that about the Apostle Paul, that even though he's even towards the tail end of his life, the tail end of his ministry, at that point, there is such great desire in his life to know God that he counts everything else but loss. He says, everything else is not even worthy to be compared to my quest to know God. And I'm here to tell you that true Christianity has that right in the heart of its quest. I want to know God. And when God is our desire and we are seeking him with all of our hearts to know him, God will meet you. I was reading the testimony of a young lady in one of these closed nations who got saved, born again by the power of God. And this young Muslim girl turned Christian knew the cost of sharing her faith. But in her prayer, she began to pray, oh God, you lead me. I want to share my faith. I want to tell others about you. And this young girl began to attend the university. And in the university, even among professors that were themselves Muslim, and she knew, if they knew that she was a Christian, they would turn her into the authorities. She began to pray, God, lead me to share my faith. And she was walking into one of the classrooms, And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I want you to share your faith with him, the professor. And she began to question a little bit, but Lord, you know that if he knows of my faith, he can turn me into the authorities. But she felt that tug of the Holy Spirit, share your faith. And so after class let out, she went up to the professor and she said to the professor, sir, I wanted to share with you the truth about Jesus Christ. I received him as my Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, the professor looked up to her and he says, you know what? Last night I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw that Jesus was my answer. He said he saw there was a big judgment and masses of people were standing before the judgment bar of God. And he saw many people that thought they were going into heaven were being turned away to hell. And all of a sudden, the statement was made in the dream, Jesus Christ is the only answer. And so she comes to the professor, unbeknown to her, he had had that dream. And when she shared her faith with him, he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. God wants to use you. God wants to reveal himself to you and through you. But there needs to be within your and my heart the desire, Lord, I want to know you more. We can't be content with what we had in the years gone by. And I'm myself convicted myself about this. Because I love to tell the stories of what God has done in the years gone by. But God wants to do them now as well. And it takes that desire, Lord, let nothing hinder me from seeking after you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. He will speak to you. The Bible says you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The Bible says acknowledge him in all of your ways and he will direct your paths. We need to be a people in this latter day that know him. We don't need to just be religious and attend church. It's about seeking him with all of our hearts. And as we do, God will reveal himself to you. If you don't believe it, test God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Lord, I want to know you more. Let's stand. I think if we truly, truly understood how much our voices delight the ears of God, I think we would spend time in the prayer closet a little bit more. If we understood how much that God's desire is for us, then we would come into his presence unhindered because he's for us. You see, the enemy paints the picture that God is mad at us, that God is tired of us, that God hates us, that God wants to just really throw us into captivity. Which in reality, God doesn't want to do that. He's got thoughts of peace, thoughts of prosperity, a future, and a hope. That's who God is. Psalm 139 says that his thoughts towards us are more in number than the very sand. And we have a big sand dunes over there that we can begin to think about all the good thoughts that God is thinking about us, don't we? The Bible says the very hairs of our head are numbered. Can you think if God is so concerned about what is so... why? How much he's more concerned about the one that has the hair? Amen? The Bible says that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father. And if God's concerned about the sparrow, how much more about you and me? He wants to reveal himself to us. And I think if we would truly grasp it, we would want to say, Lord, show yourself to me and do whatever it takes. God, give me that revelation. Amen. And he wants to do it. And I'm here to tell you, he longs to do it. Amen. And so if you have that longing in your heart to want to know the Lord more, I want you to come to this altar and I want us to pray together. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Amen. So you come to the altar and we're going to pray a prayer, Lord, reveal yourself to us. He wants to do it. This is not going to be a prayer that's going to just be words in the air. This is a prayer that God loves to hear, because God wants to do these things in all of our hearts and our lives. Amen. While you're coming, I want you to talk to the Lord yourself and agree with me in prayer. Father, we come before you as your people. And Lord, over the years, there have been times that we've heard messages or we've heard people try to speak the word of God, and sometimes they've left us condemned. They've left us feeling as if God just doesn't like us, that we've done so many things wrong that he's just out to get us. When the reality is that every one of us that have received you as Lord and Savior, that Lord, your thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. That Lord, you have a future and a hope. That Lord, you want to prosper our way. That Lord, you want to give us peace. That Lord, you want to reveal your very person to ourselves. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would hear the heart's cry of everyone here at this altar and those even in the pew that are praying in their hearts for that revelation of you. That Lord, you would answer their prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have given the promise that if we will seek you with all of our hearts, that you would be found of us. And so I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to cast away those things that hinder us. That Lord, we would put those things aside and that we would begin to seek your face. And as we do, I pray for a fresh, new, vibrant revelation of who you are in our lives. For Lord, you want to make yourself very real. It's not just words on the pages of the Bible alone. You want to make this experiential. You want to give us a revelation, a first-hand testimony. That Lord, it won't be just what they have said about you, but what we will begin saying about you and what you're doing in and through our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus, where our ears have grown callous, Lord, where our eyes have begun to grow dim, that Lord, you would take away the blindness, that you would take away our deafness, and that we would begin to see and begin to hear from you once again in a greater, more clear way in Jesus' name. I pray that, Lord, as we dedicate ourselves to reading the Bible, that you would give us understanding of your word, even revelation knowledge. That, Lord, you would open our eyes to those spiritual truths that only you can reveal. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts, that you would be the one that would lead and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, I ask that, Lord, you would not let us be comfortable, Lord, during the week, Lord, throughout our day, in our laying down and our uprising, oh God. I pray that you would knock on our hearts, that you would woo us with those cords of love, that you would draw us unto yourself, and that you would give us a fresh revelation, a fresh passion for you in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, we would begin to burn brightly for Jesus, that people around us would see that there's something different about us, and it would be not because we're trying to be religious or we're trying to act a particular way, but, Lord, in our prayer closets, you would set us aflame, and that, Lord, people would be drawn to that flame in Jesus' name. All we can do is glory in you, that we know you, that, Lord, we would point them to you, for you are the one that is going to be doing the work in all of our lives as we're drawn closer to you. You said clearly, Lord, if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. And so, Lord, we claim those promises. Help us, Lord God, to be those people that will not be content with the status quo of Christianity. Instead, help us, Lord God, even like the Apostle Paul, to count everything else but loss compared to the knowledge of who you are. Oh, Holy Spirit, it is your job to draw us. Holy Spirit, do that work that only you can do. Holy Spirit, let your presence be evident here in our church, evident in our homes, evident in our lives, Lord. When we're laying down, help us to hear your voice calling to us, say, come alone with me, my love. Help us to hear it, Lord. And Lord, even like that little young boy Samuel, that we would get up, that, Lord, we would go to that place and say, here I am, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Oh God, this Christian relationship is real. Lord, it's not just stories in a book. Lord, it is real. It is real. And I pray that you'd make it real in all of our lives. I pray for anyone that is bound, Lord. Lord, they're just like the one that Jeremiah was talking about. They're in captivity, Lord. They are bound, Lord God, by this world and all of its vices. I pray that through this darkness you would speak. And that, Lord, as this individual begins to call out to you, that, Lord, you would answer them according to your word. Lord, it's not the power of man that brings deliverance. Lord, it's you that is our deliverer. Raise up testimonies in this place, we pray. And Lord, we ask that you would be glorified. Have your way. And Lord, let our prayer truly be from this time until you return. Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, let it be real. Let it be vibrant. Let it be the reality of our lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are going to be. For Lord, you want this more than even we do. And so we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you understand that? He wants it more than you? Praise the Lord. That means we're not praying amiss. We're not missing the target when we're praying that way. You call out to him, and he will meet you where you are. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time, and that's all right. Praise the Lord. Well.